Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
And wouldn't you be?
And wouldn't it be
what
nice?
What else would you be doing on a Thursday
exactly.
at this hour, right?
I can think of nothing better. You know, if I shut my eyes, Michael, it's almost like I'm in a stuffy studio in Sherman Oaks, California.
Oh, really? Yes, and we're close to it. It's warm outside again.
Yeah, it's a little toasty.
And it's supposed to be very super hot this weekend.
Am
I right?
Really?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
I think that's what they said.
I haven't looked ahead. But it's nice. I'm utilizing mass transit these days, and I took the Orange Line here today, and it was a little warm for me on the walk.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little toasty.
Now, what is it? I don't know about mass transit. So what is
yes,
the Orange
you know,
Line?
The Orange Line is it's an old railway that they just... What?
I'm going ahead.
What?
I don't know. Are you being serious?
Yeah. No,
an old railway?
It was old tracks that cut all the way through the valley. And they ripped up the tracks and they made it. Basically, it's a bus line, a dedicated busway.
That's what I was getting to.
Yes.
But I can't see you on a bus, but...
Well, could you see me out for drinks?
Yes,
I
can.
But lady!
Sorry. Okay.
Thank our sponsors, Michael, would you?
We will do that. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listening sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
That's right. Do they get a little applause?
They do.
Yeah,
we'll
of course they do. Mike Napoli and his crew over there at Performing Arts Live. And Paul, you know, we have three guests today.
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
yes, we
which
do.
Is so exciting. One in studio and two joining us via telephone.
Yes.
And coming up shortly on the phone, by the way, the festival director and co-founder of the San Jose International Short Film Festival, recently named one of the top 50 festivals worth the entry fee by the Movie Maker magazine.
Yes.
Bill Hargreaves will join us on the phone in just a couple of minutes.
Looking forward to speaking to him very much. So, and in studio, and then later also on the phone, two gentlemen, one the creator of and the other a performer in a show with quite possibly the best title I've heard in a while.
I'll say.
I Totally Know What You Did Last Donna Summer. Set in the 80s, a spooky hysterical mashup of the horror flicks you love from the 90s and the disco queen you love from the 70s. Creator and director Dane Whitlock joins us and...
And later in the hour, one of the stars of the production, accomplished musical theater performer Joe Donahoe, joins us on the phone. But first, Paul, how was your weekend?
How was my
weekend?
It was good. It was good. We got the whole festival thing going on with the beating. I wrote this short film called The Beating about bullying, and it's doing very well in the festivals. Very excited to go to San Jose.
What is this, the 10th festival?
It's the 8th.
The 8th festival.
Yeah. Well, more than that, if you include the nomadic festivals that go to different places, like the College Town Film Festival
that
we were in. Yeah. But we're doing Bel Air Film Festival tomorrow, and then San Jose International Short Film Festival on Sunday.
Well, now, I noticed on Facebook, you posted something.
We call it Libro di Faccia, Michael.
Oh, and
Libro
di Faccia. In the Italy,
yes,
you call that. Okay.
Libro di Faccia.
That's nice. I like that. Yeah. So, but it was a picture of you and your wife.
And my lovely wife, Monica, yes.
On
who's
the
small but
red
perfectly
carpet.
Formed. Yes.
She was very ANTM.
What does that
America's
mean?
America's Next Top Model.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you were saying something perverse, Michael. No. I didn't quite get that.
But
she looked great. Monica and I forget our height differences, and then because I'm 6'2 and she's 5 feet.
Yeah.
So we forget about it. And then we see pictures, and it's Monica and her pet gorilla. Just, you know, come on, scruffy. You know. But no, thank you. She did look lovely.
Charming.
She always looks lovely. And how was your week?
I'm, very exciting because getting ready to host and produce John Lloyd Young in concert. And he's doing two concerts at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, which is a nightclub that I happen to... has my name on it, and I present there. And
and a lovely gentleman. We had him on the show last week.
Yes, he is. He's a class act, that's for sure. Never sung in Los Angeles in this intimate environment, such as a supper club. So it's very exciting, and the show is, heavily sold out. Sold out two concerts in less than 4 hours, which is nice.
Yeah.
And it's just that, and then I have Ragtime opening down in Orange County at one of our major regional theaters, which opens tomorrow in previews and opens on Saturday officially to the press.
Wow. Very exciting. A lot of plate spinning.
Yes, indeed.
One quick thing, a little unnerving on the way here. You know, you take the bus here and you see things that you don't normally see when you're driving. And explain this one to me. This sign I saw.
Oh.
Hair and Scalp Replacement Center. That's what. Hair and Scalp Replacement Center.
Wow. Am I how do they replace a scalp?
Did I miss some local news? Is something happening that I don't know about? And is it happening with enough frequency that a center is required? That's the other thing. Hair and Scalp Replacement
Was it
center.
A storefront? Yes. Or?
Yeah, a little storefront.
A little
driving
storefront.
Driving through Van Nuys. A little shaky.
I would think
so. The things you see on the Orange Line. But enough about our lives. Let's talk to some of the people that we have here. Michael, would you introduce our first guest?
I will. Silicon Valley business owners, patrons of the arts, and avid film lovers, actually, Bill Hargreaves and Sinuhui Hinoyosa.
Very well done.
Yeah,
very well
I
done.
Had to kind of slow it down.
Yeah.
Created the San Jose International Film Festival to offer a forum for filmmakers from around the world to express themselves through the art of short subject filmmaking. They are quoted as saying, "Our belief is that quality filmmaking has transcended the offerings of Hollywood and the studio system, that filmmakers from all walks of life now have the tools and technology to craft meaningful stories that resonate." Please welcome a very busy man, the festival director of San Jose International Short Film Festival, which opens in just a few hours, Bill Hargreaves.
Bill! Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
How are you, sir?
Not too bad. Just pretty relaxed right now, right?
Calm before the storm.
Hi, Michael.
Calm before the storm, as they say, huh?
We told you no cocktails before the opening of the festival.
Bill, did
I would say so, but we appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Bill, wanted to ask you, did Michael get your partner's name correct there? Did we get even close to that pronunciation?
You know, so he was surprisingly close. It's Sinoy Hinojosa.
Okay,
all right. Sinoy.
So pretty cool. Well, that's my fault because I put it in. I put it down.
Thank you for owning up to that.
I put it down phonetically in what I thought was phonetic when I should have just asked you, Bill. I know you.
Well, funny story. The first time we went up to do announcements, it was our very first fest, and we've been working together for a short period of time, but I asked the same thing. I'm like, how do I pronounce it again? But no, you got it pretty good.
thank you.
First time. Bill, as Michael said earlier in the show, I've been at a couple of film festivals recently, and the Herculean task of a film festival is one thing, but to do a short film festival seems to me that the work would just be exponentially more because you can't sort of take care of an evening with one or two films. Was that by design? Did you know what you had set for yourself, or was it always going to be short films from the word go just because of the nature of the art form?
Yeah, well, actually, yes, it was definitely always going to be short films. So that was kind of a genre that I had gravitated towards. I started going around to different festivals, and I just kind of really fell in love with the short film that you could tell such a strong narrative in such a short period of time. And it was definitely started to solely focus on the short film format. And surprisingly, it may actually be last time. I would never believe I had the time to watch all the features that would be submitted.
Right.
However, with the short films, I do watch every single film. So, it's pretty interesting. So, in that regard, setting up for it, it is a little bit easier task, I would think, than the features.
Now, my director of our film, The Beating, Cyrus Miracore, he was there last year. I'm going up this year, but he was at your festival last year with his film, Gratitude. And he really said that you guys just do it right. We go to some of these film festivals. Some will remain nameless. But, you get Joe's Film Festival and Lobster Bar, where it's just sort of taped to the door. But you got that whole Santana Row up there and the beautiful Cine Arts Theater. It seems like you have a lot of local support for this.
We do. Well, and it's gaining more. Marketing's always a challenge just with limited budgets with a film festival and all. But I think the support is definitely growing, and we see a lot of people that have been to the festival in previous years come back because they do like the programming and they like the atmosphere we provide. But no, I appreciate that Sirius had said that. We do put a lot of effort into making sure that the films screen in their best quality and that the audience kind of gets the most out of the festival as well. So we focus on those things, but, I appreciate
Not at all. I want to put Michael, would you give do you have the URLs there for the people? You don't have this? Would you throw that out
there?
Yeah,
I'd be happy to.
To let people know how to find out more about this.
And what a great campaign poster here.
Oh, the
short
the logo is great.
Big Ideas, San Jose International Short Film Festival.
Yeah, thank you. We were really happy to work with Web Inertia, who created we had a kind of creative meeting, and then they came up with a concept with the light bulb, which is a original image that they had created, and then Short Films, Big Ideas kind of came together as our tagline for this year's festival.
No, it's really beautiful.
Well, indeed. And it is October 9th, opening day through the 12th of October, the San Jose International Short Film Festival, and you can reach out to them and find out plenty of information and hopefully be able to still buy admission to the event at www.sffff.com.
Right. Or I'll help you with that one.
All right. Or their go ahead.
Oh, sorry. It's sjsff.com.
Oh, forgive me. Did I say F on the J?
Just think in terms of... Yeah, just think in terms of abbreviating
San Jose.
Maybe
an extra S and an F.
I don't know the way to San Jose. You see, so that's the problem. All right, I'm going to say it again, www.sjsff.com. And on your Facebook page, which is facebook.com//SJSFF.
So just think in terms of San Jose International Film Festival.
Exactly. Okay. And I must say, on behalf of my co-host here and co-producer Paul Strelly, The Beating, his film, screens Sunday at 3 p.m. as part of the Celluloid Dreams Shorts program.
And I will be there with bells on, which
you
is
will?
A little distracting during the film, but people don't seem to mind.
I know.
You know?
Well, they're very chic. They just hang from the earlobes.
They are.
It's always a good look.
Bill, I know you got a lot on your plate, so we're going to let you go. But before you go, can you, the one film with all these hundreds that you're showing, the one film that you're most excited about seeing with an audience, is there one that pops to the front? And don't worry, I won't be offended if you don't mention mine.
I was going to say, be very careful, Bill.
Oh, gosh. I have to tell you, it feels like, you know, the talent that, you know, and the films that are coming in this format just keep getting better and better. You know, there are a few select films that I'm really anxious to see up on the big screen, but, you know, all of them, really, the programming, we have just over 150 short films that were screened throughout the weekend, and, I'm really happy with all of them.
That one,
I don't know if I could pick just one.
Well, the one that was teased in the trailer, the one with Richard Kind, looks really great.
That's a great film, yes, and the director will be here. That's a great film. Young Americans is really top-notch. I think Today's the Day is another great film. There's a lot of different films, over 150, so I think they're all definitely great.
Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate you. Michael and I both appreciate
Absolutely.
You taking the time on a very busy day for you. We're very, very grateful.
Have
Thanks
great
for
success,
spending
Bill.
Some time with us.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Thanks so much, and I'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks, Bill. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Nice guy.
Very charming.
Really nice guy.
Yeah, very charming.
Appreciate having him here. Telephonically, anyway. Our next guest is a writer and director based in Los Angeles. His first two critically acclaimed musical parodies, Are You There, God? It's Me, Karen Carpenter, which my wife Monica saw a couple of times and just peed. Is it okay to say that? She peed?
Mm-hmm.
But that's, of course, a problem that she has. And Little House on the Prairie, Oki, was performed in... Did I get that right?
You did. Prairie, you did, yes. Congratulations.
Performed in Los Angeles and Palm Springs at the Cavern Club Celebrity Theater, the Attic Theater, the Hudson Main Stage Theater, and the Palm Canyon Theater. His third stage production, I Totally Know What You Did Last Donna Summer, which I'm sorry, I got to give that a room shot.
Right.
Too great.
Excellent.
Written with Groundling alum and cast member Amy Procacci.
Well done. Well done. Yeah. She'll be very impressed.
Well, you know, I'm
yes.
a paisan. So.
Yes.
That show opened to sold-out standing room only crowds at the Cavern Club Theater, and not surprisingly, it's back, and it's bigger than ever. Please welcome the creator and the director of this hilarious mashup that spans the 70s, 80s, and 90s, Mr. Dane Whitlock.
Thank you.
And you're returning to star in this again.
You know, I am.
Yes.
I am. I'm back on the boards, kids. Back on the boards.
Oh, did you take a little hiatus?
You know, I did. I used to be a professional actor. That's what I did my entire life. And then I got out of it because my career path went different directions. And then I realized that I liked writing and directing and producing more. You know, yeah. I like, I'm a control freak. Is that, can I say that?
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, geez.
So when you write and direct and produce it and you costume it and you set design it and you market it and you publicize it, you basically the buck stops with you, right? So for my last couple shows, I wasn't ever in them, but this time, since it's a remount, we had to replace two of the cast members who have other jobs. Yeah, which is totally fine. That's what happens in Los Angeles. You know, sure. People have jobs. They got things they need to do. And I started looking around and I thought, well, after having many conversations with my co-producers and some cast members and the person that I ultimately ended up replacing, they're like, listen, you're really great. Why don't you just do it? Yeah. And I was like, well, that actually saves me a lot of time in casting and rehearsing people. So I'm in it.
Hey, don't knock being controlled.
But you're playing the same role that I saw you do.
You know, I don't know, because I wasn't in it the last time you saw it.
I think you were.
Really?
No.
I'm playing the role.
Saying no.
Yeah, so I'm playing the role of Windy Storms, which was originated by Drew Drogi.
Okay, yes. That's who I met.
Yes, you met. People, actually, Drew and I go way back, and I tend to do Drew very well. So I've been his cover and his understudy for a couple
haven't
things.
Haven't we all?
Yes.
No,
so
what I was going to say about control freakism, because you're in a room with, I imagine, a few control freaks.
Yes.
Let me tell you how much of a control freak this my co-host is here.
Really?
Sure. We have to go there? If you look up control freak in the dictionary, you don't see his picture because he got up to help the photographer.
Excellent. But I'm bummed. I give you your own rim shot there.
But to your show.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
The titles are so evocative and funny.
Right.
Do you come, and it's a silly question, and do you come up with the title and then hobble the show to it? Because I remember one of the great titles of all time for me was a show that they did in Second City in the early 90s called Jean-Paul Sartre and Ringo, which I thought was a great title of a show. But now, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
You know, you hit the nail on the head. It's always the title. It's always
really?
The title. You know, and I'm a Chicago alumni as well from the Chicago theater scene. And there was a show that ran there for many years called Whitney Houston, We Have a Problem. And every time I saw the title, every time I read the title, every time I heard someone speaking about it, I was like, I have to go see that show. I don't care if it's crap. Yeah. I got to go see it.
Bam.
So, and I realized, you know, here, especially in Los Angeles, you flip through LA Weekly and stuff. There's so much product out there. There's so many shows. People gravitate toward, you know, if you can crack them up with the title, then you got them in the seats. So then your job is half done.
Right.
So my first one was Are You There, God? It's Me, Karen Carpenter, and it was and that's kind of set the path for the rest of my shows, which is taking genres that basically have no business being together and mashing them together. So Are You There, God? It's Me, Karen Carpenter was a riff on a Judy Blume coming of age book, about a young girl who becomes a woman, as they do, and I included music from the Carpenters. So while she was becoming a woman, she was singing Rainy Days on Mondays and We've Only Just Begun and, you know, Top of the World and all those great Carpenters things. And it was a huge hit. It was, we did it at the Attic Theater, then it moved to the Cavern Club, then it went to Hudson, then we did a performance of it in the theater in Palm Springs. And people really liked it. And after the show closed, I just basically did it for a creative outlet. I didn't do it because I knew that that was ultimately what I was going to keep doing year after year. That was in 2012. So when the show closed, people were like, well, what's next? And I was like, I just want to hang out with these kooky people some more because I love them. They were really all my friends, and I cast them all, and we all got along really great. So then I started thinking, you know, what was next? What would be the next untapped type of, like, pop culture thing that I could skew? Lovingly, of course. Right. And then I one day I was like, Little House on the Prairie, I love that show, and how can I make that fun? So Prairie rhymes with karaoke, kind of. So you kind of mash the two together, and I, you know, adapted an episode and, you know, threw in a bunch of pop music and got a bunch of cease and desists and kept on moving.
So now something like that, and then of course the third one being Donna Summer, which we'll talk about at length in a moment.
Sure.
But did you ever think about just doing, now that you have this sort of trifecta of funny, do you Did you ever think of doing them in rep, like doing them at getting a venue to going, let me give you a season of Silly here?
You know, that's funny that you say that, because they're actually the one theater in Palm Springs and has been very active and wants to come out and do both of them. Do like an act one of this and an act two of that or whatever you want to do. And I would be open to that, of course. But it's, you know, as of right now, I always just kind of have my eye on the prize of like, you know, hey, let's. We did the show this past April, May. It was huge, wildly successful. It sold out before we even opened. Wow. And then we're bringing it back for a couple of weeks now. And
you don't want to dissipate your energy sometimes. Yeah. You don't want to have to like one child over another.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I would think that this particular time of year, too, with this particular show, that it's going to be gangbusters.
You
right?
know, I would
Heading
hope so,
into
yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah. I mean, there's I will say, honestly, there's a lot of, strangely interesting enough, a lot of shows that are very similar to mine that have popped up on the horizon
recently. One
recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. They're very Scream, you're the, yeah. They're musical parodies based on popular movies from the 90s about right. horror movies. So, yeah. you know, hey, I don't know which, going back to what you said earlier, which came first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know if they already had theirs in development, but I definitely think that there's a lot of programming out there, but I think my show's better.
Well, scary, I think he's referring to Scary Musical.
Scary Musical, yeah. Yes. But there's musical. Also another one, I think, at Rockwell. I think those guys do a great
but
job.
But you have
Rockwell.
An entire extra layer to it. Because yeah. it's not only, you're not just parodying something.
Right.
You're parodying how these pop culture elements fit or don't fit.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. And the other thing there, as evidenced by the longevity and how you were extending the shows, you have appeal that's beyond generational,
right?
Because you have a span of appeal that spans generations, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And
exactly.
There's already a retro feel even for 90s stuff right now. So,
and you think as you're doing it, you're like, you know, is this going to work? You know, we're taking like these movies because it has a little bit of Scream. It has a little bit of I Know What You Did Last Summer. It has a little bit of, you know, Rosemary's Baby kind of thrown into right. the mix. It's got a little bit of Nightmare on Elm Street. So it's taking all these horror genres, put them in a blender, you know, and then adding pop music on top of it, which can come in at extremely inappropriate times, which I think is no. what kind of makes it hilarious.
Well, you know, I wrote a sequel, actually. You reminded me of this. I wrote a sequel, Michael. Did I tell you about the sequel?
No,
I
you
wrote?
Did not.
I wrote a sequel called To the Passion of the Christ. I wrote a sequel to that. It didn't do very well, but I did write it.
What was that?
It was called I Know What You Did Last Easter.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
You know, because he comes back. It's a horror movie.
You just
thing.
Came up with that, anyway. Didn't you? During
does
this
it,
broadcast.
Does it show?
Yes.
Does it show? I imagine it would. Well, we'll continue talking to Dane, but before we do, let's let people know how they can see this thing. This is Fridays and Saturdays, October 10th through the 25th at 9 p.m. at the Cavern Club Celebrity Theater.
Which is a hoot, by the way, I must say. Yeah. The theater and the venue, of course, the famous Casita del Campo.
And this is located in the Silver Lake neighborhood of Los Angeles, 1920 Hyperion Avenue Theater in L.A. And tickets are $30. I love this, what you pay for theater here versus Chicago and New York, and it's just as good, if not better. Tickets $30, $25 in advance. Purchase at the door or online at brownpapertickets.com. I won't give you this whole lengthy 822 thing because you can just visit Cavern Club. There is the ER spelling, not the RE spelling, so important to remember. And we will throw this stuff out there a couple more times before the end of the hour. Also, Facebook.com, and I totally love this, that the vanity URL for Facebook.com is the whole damn title. I totally know what you did last Donna Summer. F them if they can't spell or they mistype it.
Exactly.
I love that. Because look at how much difficulty we had getting San Jose International Film Festival out. With no, because it's S's and F's and it's not
yeah.
you. It's just, but there's only one way to spell I totally know what you did last Donna Summer. Priceless. I love that.
Priceless is right. And, you know, the fun thing, too, is, I mean, you can go to Casita del Campo, right, mm-hmm. and have some of their famous Mexican food, which is always a very festive atmosphere, and then go downstairs to the theater.
Well, and we always push. Park
I think
once.
You can take a cocktail in the theater.
You absolutely.
Yeah?
I recommend two. It. Yes. Yes.
And they have a bar right outside the entrance to the theater. So it's all kind of one-stop shopping.
It really does. And it sets the audience in the proper, you know, frame of mind to see my show. Right. I think you go, you have a really great meal, you have a couple of drinks, you know, you go downstairs, you have another couple of drinks. My show is, it starts at 9 o'clock. You're walking out the door at 10:20. You know, it's yeah. a very fast pace, hour,
no intermission.
Minutes, no intermission,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and that's the way I've pretty much set up all these shows, because I've seen these shows that kind of take place in these types of venues, and, you know, if it's a two-act, that's, for me personally, doesn't work. The audience kind of gets a little antsy. So I like to keep it fast, keep it short, and keep it moving.
No, lean and mean, faster, louder, mm-hmm. funnier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing is, especially with... you know, when you have a restaurant venue like this, it's a club theater combination. You know, producers aren't, I mean, even though you guys are producing this yourself, but a lot of times they found that a lot of people put intermissions in just for the sake of the venue, because
right.
the venue wants an intermission.
Right.
Because they're going to sell, you know, stuff at, you know, at the bar and mm-hmm. all that, but you don't have to worry about that.
You know, and actually they initially asked me for my first show if I could put an intermission in, and I kind of fought back on that, because it just kind of, for me personally, if the show doesn't start till 9 o'clock, it kind of breaks the momentum. And, you know, and my rule number one of any show that I've ever worked on, directed, or produced, or whatever, is don't bore your audience.
Oh. Yeah. And it's really amazing how many directors don't think about that. Just don't think about what they want to experience when
exactly.
they go. Because I direct comedy as well for this theater in town, theater company, Seaglass Theater. And that's always the mindset. What do I want to go see? What
right.
do I want to experience? Not that I am any great yardstick on comedic content, but at least you're starting from that place.
Right.
You're starting from that place of funny, you know.
I really want to get the audience a really great experience. I want them to laugh. I want them wanting more. I want them leaving talking about how great that was, not like, wow, that theater was hot.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So now, in terms of the assembling it,
yes.
Do you start with songs, write your narrative based on that? Do you write a narrative and drop your
The narrative comes
in?
First. And then, you know, I always have in the back of my mind what song titles I'm going to use. And I kind of think along the lines of, oh, this would be a really great opening number, or this would be a really great closing number, or this. Most of my shows usually have some type of chase sequence in them, because I feel like, you know, that's what I do. So I always kind of figure out that. And then, but definitely the script comes first, and then I pepper it in with the music.
I know I ask that question often, Michael, but I'm just fascinated by that process, like how you arrive at that.
Yeah, well, it's a very individual thing, so mm-hmm. you know. But I mean, I've seen this show, so believe me, it works. His process.
Well, thank
works.
You.
And do you have, since the title comes first,
mm-hmm.
do you have a secret notebook somewhere with a dozen more titles that could be?
May be called my laptop. Yes, but I've already started working in my mind on the next one. And that's pretty much what I've always done. I do one a year, and we'll do it in a couple of venues and then move on.
Because that, to me, sounds like the greatest party game
it's
of all
so
time.
Much fun.
Where you're just sitting around and just having a couple of margaritas and go, okay, and just like stringing it up.
Secrets out.
Right.
No, and then it's amazing, because now that I've kind of set up this like reputation for myself of being this kind of like this, you know, mashup king, that, you know, now people come to me and they're like, oh, you got to do this.
Yeah.
And they come up with these crazy ideas that they think is the best thing ever. They're like, you know, Laverne and Shirley the musical. I'm like, well, okay, that doesn't quite say anything to me, but let's work on that a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Now, you said you're playing Wendy Storm.
I am.
Will you be... shave?
Yes. For those listening at home, I'm sitting right now with a full beard, but this will be gone as of this
evening.
Well,
not a full beard.
Yeah, well, a full for me. Okay. Yeah, it took me a year to grow this.
Really?
No.
Oh, really?
No,
oh, man,
just
I was going to say, I'm envious. I'm Italian. I grow beards for parties.
No, yes. So, yeah, that's one thing on the way home is on my to-do list is to get a razor. So,
yeah.
Yes.
To shave not with. It sounds be. Too much like a Leonard Cohen song. There.
Exactly. Right. What was he talking about?
Yeah, I was going to say, not that it might take away from the character, but it... Probably would.
Yeah, you know, my Wendy Storms, the way Drew did it, Drew Drogi is just magnificent. I can't say enough about him. And he's been in all of my shows since the beginning, and he's just a dear friend of mine. And so, you know, when we kind of realized that maybe the next logical step for us just to pass the torch on to me rather than try to find someone else to replace him, he was like, you're going to make it your own, you're going to be great, and you're going to be wonderful. And when I finally gave myself permission to stop trying to be what Drew was, because you'll never be Drew Drogi. You know, Drew is brilliant. He's a comic genius. But, you know, I got a couple tricks up my sleeve as well. So it's been an exciting process, a scary process. But, you know, I definitely feel as if the audience that's coming in this weekend is going to see a killer show.
Well, you know, I mean, if someone is going to play a role, mm-hmm. if someone is going to step in for somebody
right.
else, I mean, who better than the person who created it?
And when, you know, and I had to do it for Little House on the Prairie for one performance, and he played the Nellie Olson character, and we knew going into it that he was going to maybe possibly have to miss this one show because he had a gig. And then as the week came up, it was definitely that he had to miss it. So he was like, well, you're just going to do it, right? And I was like, yeah, I'll just go in and I'll do it. I'll throw on the ringlets and the yellow gingham and the pinafore and the shoes and the boots and the whole nine yards. And the cast was like, are we ever going to rehearse with you? And I was like, no, I'll just do it. I'll just step into it. So I literally just stepped into the show. Oh. I mean, it went beautifully, I will say. But like, they were like, who are you? Who did this person come from? Where, and you didn't even rehearse with us at all. You didn't miss a beat. Well, and that goes back to my control freak thing. I know every line.
Well, you
every...
know, who better, right?
Yeah. Well, that's that's the Jackie Gleason school.
Exactly.
You know, just walk out and do it. You know,
exactly.
Don't dampen it with rehearsal. we're talking about I Totally Know What You Did Last Donna Summer. Info for the upcoming production at the Hyperion Avenue Theater is you can go to cavernclubtheater.com, mm-hmm. cavernclubtheater.com. And we're going to speak to one of your cast members in about 5 minutes. We'll be taking a call in from Joe Donahoe.
Joe Donahoe.
But before we get there, Michael, we'll just take a break. We would normally have our arts calendar here, but we wanted to talk to people as much as we could today. But you have a review of sorts?
I do, yeah. A very, very casual review of the U.S. National Tour, which just pulled into the Pantages Theater in Hollywood. With the king of all jukebox musicals, Jersey Boys.
Yes.
And I must say, I had not until this past Sunday evening ever seen the actual show itself on stage, though I had seen the motion picture that was out this summer, and I absolutely liked it. So mm-hmm. I think, did you?
I saw it on Broadway, and actually one of my good friends was one of the original four guys. He played Nick Massey,
yes.
J. Robert Spencer.
Nick,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it was like VH1 Behind the Music, you know, it was like a really great mm-hmm. high energy. I thought it was a great show, but of course I saw it like years ago, so I haven't seen it since.
I was actually asking about the film, but
so
you saw at least,
I saw it
on Broadway.
Yes, I saw the Broadway production.
But when the film came out, that was my first entree into it. You haven't seen the film.
I haven't seen it.
Vicky,
yet.
Have you seen it? Well, Vicky, the producer for Dane, is lovely sitting here so quietly in the studio.
Yes.
She's running damage control with Dane.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. She's waving a palm frond at him. He's really high maintenance, this guy.
Every now and then I get beat. Stop saying that.
No. Just read the flashcards. Would you read the flashcards?
No, but the motion picture I happen to think was a well-done biopic, you know, because they can be really bad sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Eastwood made some smart choices. Yep. And I know that he was not the favorite of the critics, nor was the film. But, you know, it's made back its budget, and plus then some here domestically. It's about $47 million it took for the $40 million that it spent to make the movie. But I understand internationally it is one of the highest grossing musicals.
Really?
On the Big Ten list.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. I got to check it out then, I guess.
Yeah. So if you can find it in a theater, now it's gone. You're going to have to get it, you know, a DVD. But back to the Pantages production, absolutely stunning. And the boys that were in this grouping of four and everybody else in this cast was top drawer. I mean, the production was beautiful. It was really, truly like going to a rock concert.
Yeah.
It gets, you know, that fever pitch starts.
And the way that the audience is reacting.
Yeah, because it doesn't start off with all of the better-known songs of the Four Seasons. It slips into it, and boy, by the second act, you're just flying high.
You're just ready to go.
And the audience was very receptive, not just because it was opening night, but because it was good theater. Mm. And we all had the pleasure of seeing, unexpectedly, one Frankie Valli take a curtain call at the end of the evening with the cast, which was very exciting.
Wow.
At his young age of 80.
Wow.
Yeah, he was there. So
you remember him on Sopranos? Did you ever watch Sopranos?
I didn't.
He was.
People tell me they mistake me for one of the guys on this.
Yeah, Stevie.
Oh, come on.
Steve Van Zandt.
Steve Van Zandt.
Yeah. It's not possible. I don't look anything like him.
You have much better hair.
Is that it only?
Yeah. Much handsome. Much more handsome.
You would never have to go to the hair and scalp replacement center.
Oh, thank God. But at any rate, I do encourage anybody who hasn't seen the Jersey Boys, get down to the Pantages Theater and see it. It's in one of the most beautiful theaters, certainly in the country, let alone Los Angeles. And you simply go to HollywoodPantages.com for tickets, if you can get them, because the show is selling out like gangbusters, and it's only here through almost the end of the month, not quite the end of the month.
You know, Michael, I actually wrote a sequel to this one, too.
Oh, you did?
I did. I wrote a sequel of a musical based on extended second-generation Italian stereotypes.
And what was the name of
it? It's called The Jersey Shore Boys. Oh, look at the time. Oh,
thank God for the time.
That was a long walk for the store to be closed, man. Wow.
I would say so.
All right, so let's continue talking to Dane here while we wait for the call from Joe. He should call us shortly. If Joe,
yes,
you're listening in, now's your cue, but we certainly have Dane here to answer our questions. It's Joe is not in it this weekend,
right,
because he has an obligation out of town.
Yes, he's involved in a wedding, I think, in Colorado.
And look at this.
Oh, that'll
look at this.
Yes.
I think we have a
Shall
Donahue
I give him
on
his
the
intro?
Phone, but
oh,
if he is there,
Billy,
he can listen to his own introduction. Joe, are you there?
I'm here.
He's
well,
here.
Just,
okay.
Just take, pause one
pause
moment,
a
Joe.
Moment while Michael blows your skirt up. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. I can't wait.
Really? Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, hails from Littleton, Colorado, and performed both on Broadway and touring with Rent. He also performed in Jersey Nights in Ontario, Canada, and his L.A. credits include Go-Go Beach, Push Play, Side by Side by Sondheim, Schoolhouse Rock 2, and the award-winning rock opera Lovelace, which also had a month stint at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. In addition, he originated his roles in Dane Whitlock's I Totally Know What You Did Last Donna Summer, portraying Ray J. Welcome, Joe Donahoe.
Quite the introduction.
Hey, Joe.
Well, Joe, we're out of time, but thanks. We appreciate you. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. We want to pull you away from your out-of-town engagement, but we thank you for calling in.
Joe, let me ask you something. Since you are in...
He's in Philly. I was
in Philly.
Yes.
All right. Are you part of the wedding party, or are you just a guest?
I'm in the wedding party, yes.
Holy
I'm actually
cow.
A bridesman.
Oh,
is that what
okay.
you call it?
Yeah, well, I would think so.
But I'm on
so.
The bride's party.
Okay.
Bride's party. Joe, we didn't touch on this with Dane, but if you would, if you could fill us in for our listeners, just could you tease us a little with the synopsis, sort of let us know what the storyline is of this to sort of whet people's appetites, or should they not? Should they not? I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ray J.
In a nutshell, it's a parody of some 90s horror classics with Donna Summer music. So
okay.
That's pretty much what it is. And
you know,
it's just goofy. It's fun. It's
really,
silly.
How much more do you need? Well, because think about it. That
pretty much
to
says
mind,
it all, doesn't
what
it?
That brings to mind. Yeah. What about Ray J? Who is this character of yours?
Ray J, okay, I based my Ray J off of Freddie Prinze Jr., and I know you did last summer. So he's a little bit of a jock. He's not the brightest guy in town. But he's like the jock, he's got the hot girlfriend, you know, he kind of talks like this, and he's maybe not the brightest guy in the world, but he has fun.
But he thinks he is the brightest guy in the world. That's the twist there.
Right.
Yeah, he just Ray J loves Ray J.
Yes, he does.
Now,
yes,
if you originated this, if you originated the role, Joe, when during that process, and I don't know if it's something to talk about with the creator right here or not, but how much of your own stuff are you allowed to bring to it? Do you come to the table with a somewhat fully realized character? Does it happen in sort of a workshop process or what?
Yeah, well, Dane's really good about letting the actors bring their own spin on the character. It's really fun to work with Dane because he kind of gives you the skeleton, and he writes so well, but, you know, he's always hip to you adding your own twist to it and your own ideas to the character. So, yeah, I don't want to say it's a lot of me because he's not the brightest character, but I did
right.
bring, you know, my own twist to it. And it's just been really fun working with Dane. It's not my fourth show working with Dane.
I was going to say, what were the others? Yeah, what did you do in the other films?
Side by Side by Sondheim. But then we also did Are You There, God? It's Me, Karen Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Karen Carpenter music with the story of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Right, the Judy Blume.
And we did Karaoke, which is Little House on the Prairie set to karaoke classics. So, yeah, it's pretty genius.
And we should note that I actually did not write Side by Side by Sondheim. I just directed J-Winter Productions.
Really? Because I was going to say, you had great success.
Yes, well, you know, it was one of my highlights of my career.
Mr. Sondheim's lawyer. You know, a lot of people don't know that the first two shows, you know, the first show and then Son by Son was the collected revenues from those two shows.
Yes, very, exactly.
Yeah. So that was something you directed.
Yeah, I directed at the Attic Theater in Culver City, yes.
Wow.
And yeah. I was auditioning people, and this tall, very handsome, gorgeous voiced man came in and auditioned for me. I looked at his resume.
And who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Joe Donahoe.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes, you. And I looked at his resume, and Joe and I had gone to the same college.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Shenandoah Conservatory in Winchester, Virginia.
Same
yes.
year? Same grade?
No, I'm a little older than Joe. Just a little. Like by a year, right, Joe? Yeah, that's what
no.
we're that's, yes.
Lies.
Lies. Oh. But, but we have a lot of mutual friends in common. That you know, Joe ended up going to school a couple of years after I graduated, so there's a little crossover of people there.
Nice. Yeah. And then, and so that's how you met?
Yeah, I cast him right away, and he did it. And then, as I mentioned earlier, when I decided to start writing my own stuff, he was one of the first people I called. And the luxury of using the same people kind of over and over and over again is like not only have I developed this little rep company, but I know how to write for them. I know what their strengths are, and right. I know how to, you know. So, I mean, but a lot of my cast, Ben, Amy, you know, Mark, you know, Matt, you know, they're all returnees from my past shows.
You've become their Christopher Guest.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know. Joe is a working actor in this town. He's always working. And Paul, we've had him on the show before. Do you remember Burnt Part Boys?
Oh yes, yeah. Yes. Yes,
that was me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was his first time with us.
I'm sorry that you're not here with us, but no.
Yeah, I am too, Joe. So I guess you're going to have to buy me lunch somewhere or something, right?
That is a fair deal.
Okay,
that sounds fair.
Okay, but
I wanted to mention too that Ben Palacios, who's been doing the show as well, it's
yeah.
Fundraiser too. He's actually doing the opening weekend, and he's wonderful. He's a good friend of mine, and he's well worth seeing.
You're a very giving, generous actor to do that. That's a very kind thing for you to say.
Thank you.
Not that it's a kind thing to compliment somebody, but to call attention to the fact that another actor is doing it and doing it wonderfully.
And I will say that this rep company that we've assembled, that's the way they are. They're very wonderfully giving. You know, there's not any ego or attitude, and everyone's fully supportive. And if jokes don't really land, we work together on how we can make it land and how we can make it better. And I think that that's a testament to these people.
You wouldn't be seeing the same names in these productions when you know
no.
if you didn't enjoy
right.
the process and people didn't do
exactly.
it well, you know, just to make it about business. But I want to point something out here. That I'm looking at the promotional material, and a lot of the runs that we enjoy here in Los Angeles are 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I'm seeing on this that there are not. This is a very brief run.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure to go to the website that we mentioned earlier. This is only from October 10th through the 25th mm-hmm. at the Caravan Club Celebrity Theater. So be sure to get tickets early and often, because if are you there, God, It's Me, Karen Carpenter, is any indication, as Monica went to see, you know, people who put it off end up getting shortchanged in the final weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So cavernclubtheater.com is the website.
And again, at the Casita del Campo restaurant. Yep. So it's like a great evening of dinner, if you wish. And, of course, a couple cocktails that you can take into the show with you and have an amazing 90-minute ride.
All right, twist my arm. I'll have a cocktail.
So we're not quite
margarita
through.
Margarita, and you'll enjoy anything down there.
And exactly. I'm sure it's cheaper than it was last night at Soho House. I went to Soho House last night in West Hollywood because we did this festival, the Bel Air Festival
yes,
was there.
Yes.
And there was a panel that I wanted to see, so I went. So I had my martini. Yeah. $28.
What?
$28.
No way.
Yeah.
$28
$28. Now, granted, I'm a big tipper, so I tipped $18. But that's not the point.
No. Oh, my God.
No, it was. I'm exaggerating a little. It was $24. It was $24.
Yeah. Wow.
That's unconscionable.
It was ridiculous.
That's
and it was a high-end vodka that I ordered, but still. Anyway.
How high-end was
what?
It? How high-end was it?
It was actually, there were fish in it that nibbled the dead skin off my feet. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
You never seen that problem?
No, I have heard of that.
Have you? Okay, good. So people just don't think I'm very odd. That's actually a pedicure process, but an obscure reference that just threw Michael for a loop, man.
Right. I'm sweating.
No, Joe, we're winding down right now, but we got a question for you, and we'll ask Dane after we sign off with you. But we always like to ask our performers about some embarrassing thing that's happened, something that went south on stage, some sort of funny tale you can share from any show that you've done, any performance, not necessarily this one. If you need a little time to think about it, we can always go to Dane first. What do you got something for us?
I got something for you. Okay. I got a little something. Now, you see, usually I never make mistakes. I'm that good of a performer.
I can attest to that. Joe never, ever, ever makes or forgets to carry his microphone.
No, that's not true. But my first ever Equity show was The Fantastics.
Okay.
And I was good friends with a girl playing Louisa, and I was playing that. And during intermission, something funny had happened, and we couldn't stop giggling. We just got the giggles, and we couldn't stop. And we were panicking because we know the show opens in a tableau, a frozen tableau. So the curtain rose, and there we were, frozen, just crying with laughter, but like trying so hard to stop. It was just not the professional thing to do, but it's just it took a good halfway into the first song before we could pull it together.
That's the worst. That's the worst. It's like church laughter, you know, when you have
exactly.
You know, there was a show some friends of mine did in college, Curse of the Starving Class, and there's a line where the guy says, "Look, buddy, I'm taking this house," and he hands the money. Then he has to hand the money in slow motion over. He's selling the family homestead, and he has to hand the money over in slow motion while looking directly in the guy's eyes in this sort of like quasi-tableau thing. But instead of saying, "Look, buddy," he said, "Lick, buddy."
Ooh.
And then, and then the laughter and the tears as they have to do this slow motion, the saddest moment in the show, of course, and just absolutely crying with laughter. Difficult thing.
Yeah, it's
difficult
torture because you don't want to be laughing. And you know,
well, no,
so it's like not even fun laughter. It's just miserable laughter.
Joe, what about in this show? You did the previous run of this show at the same location at the Cavern Club. Did anything wacky go on there? Because, I mean, so much wackiness occurs just on a normal, just in a normal evening. But anything out
honestly, this show, like anything wacky that happens, everyone's like versed in improv and kind of just goes with it. So, like, if anything wacky happens, it just improves the quality of the performance.
Exactly.
So I can't think of anything specific because we just have so much fun up there that
exactly
the stakes are kind of the highlight of the show when they do happen.
Because it's not Othello. You know, you're not doing Othello. You're doing something that...
No. Wait a minute, we're not? Hold on. I'm out of here.
Well, Dane's doing Othello. The rest of us are not.
Well, we're going to talk to Dane, but we're going to let you get back to your thing there, Joe, because we know you're away from home and you're in a wedding party, so you probably have a lot to do, but it's a real pleasure having you
and
here again.
Don't you come home getting married back there by accident or something like that? Since you're in
I
the wedding party.
My anytime soon.
Okay.
All right. Thank
you,
Joe.
It's a pleasure speaking with you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you,
thank
Joe.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Joe.
Thank you. Bye.
Nice guy.
Very nice.
Love
man.
Him.
Two nice
yep.
phone guests.
Love
okay, Dave, what do you got? What is your tale of woe?
Okay, so this was not my proudest moment ever, and I'm a little embarrassed at my behavior, so I'm going to set that little course in motion. But I was doing the national tour of She Loves Me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know She Loves Me, but there's a very pivotal song that revolves around this product called ice cream, and it's a very big number, and this girl does this whole number about ice cream, and my character walks in and he gives her ice cream and they have this little emotional scene, then she sings about it. So I go backstage, I don't know where we were, like, I don't know, Duluth or something, and I go backstage and the ice cream's not there, and I'm a little panicked, and I just kind of like look up to the props person. I'm like, there's no ice cream. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll go get it. And then I don't know what didn't register, so I go on stage and I do the beginning of the scene, right? And I get to the point where I'm like, oh, Miss Polish, I'd like to give you something. And I go and I, you know, I'm like, I'll be right back. And I leave the stage and I go into the wings and she's still just standing there, but there's no ice cream. And I was like, where's the bleepity bleep ice cream? But of course I didn't say bleepity bleep because I don't know if I can cuss on this channel. So I go on stage and the girl's sitting there looking at me with wide eyes, tears rolling on her face. My microphone was still on.
Oh.
And they would project it across the entire...
Where's the...
All of a sudden, nice little George Novak comes back on stage, and the audience is just like... And they were on my side, thankfully, because I guess I didn't sound angry. I guess it just sounded exasperated
panicked.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's note to self. When you're playing like a 2,000 seat house and you all of a sudden go running off stage and do something, you know, you make sure that your microphone is not on.
Who was the story of the first time was Anna Maria Alberghetti, wasn't it, doing a West Side Story? The first time a body mic was used on stage when she went to the bathroom at intermission.
I know that story about Betty Grable. I don't know about...
I'm sure that it's one of these things that they just swap out the celebrity.
And then Leslie Ann Warren in Gone with the Wind, the horse in the buggy, you know, she was playing Scarlet.
In London, right?
It started here.
Okay.
At the Dorothy Chandler. And the horse started acting up and rearing up, and I mean, it got quite out of control. And she was, you know, sitting there by herself up in the carriage. And she, you know, obviously they had to do something about it. And the horse guy came on stage and was trying to handle the horse, and the curtain was coming down at the same time prematurely, and apparently it didn't happen fast enough, and she said, "Get this effing horse out of the way!" And the mic was on.
There you go.
Dorothy Chandler Pavilion.
What a blast this was.
Thank you, guys. Very wonderful.
Joe, as well as the...
And Vicky, who we drove crazy for 24 hours.
Michael, I'm going to give this information, but afterwards, would you throw the information out there for the San Jose Film Festival as
well?
Yeah,
of course.
We talked about, to Dane and Joe, about I Totally Know What You Did Last Donna Summer, which opens October 10th, runs through October 25th, 9 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays at the Cavern Club Celebrity Theater at Casito del Campo Restaurant in Silver Lake here in Los Angeles, 1920 Hyperion Ave. Tickets, $30, $25 in advance. Brown paper tickets, you can find it there, but go to Cavern Club Theater. Theater is R-E-R, cavernclubtheater.com, facebook.com/ I Totally Know What You Did Last Donna Summer.
Indeed, San Jose International Short Film Festival. Go to this website, www.sjsff.com, or their Facebook page, facebook.com/sjsff. Also, Jersey Boys at the Pantages. Make it a point. HollywoodPantages.com.
And The Beating, my short film, screens on Sunday as part of the Celluloid Dreams Shorts program at 3 o'clock or 3:30?
3 o'clock.
There we go.
There you go.
What a pleasure.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
Paul, see you on the radio.
See you next week.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.